Father, would you bless the words that I speak? Would Jesus Christ be glorified and the Holy Spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Advent is a strange time. The world seems to be all about Christmas, but Christmas doesn't actually start in the church year until Christmas Day itself. Which is why in many countries, you don't put up your Christmas tree, which you do with your children each year, until after sunset on Christmas Eve. Because in the church, being awkward, not only does Christmas not start till Christmas Day, but the day starts at sunset the day before, if that makes any sense to you. But I'd rather leave all of Christmas up until then. However, my parents have been away this weekend, and as a surprise for my mother, who loves all things Christmas, I have put out some decorations for her. My Nutcracker figure selection is out. For my birthday this year, they bought me a Nutcracker figure which had little drawers inside it, which made up an advent calendar to fill with minstrels. And of course, being chocolate, even if I don't have decorations yet, chocolate does need to be there on the 1st of December. So Advent is strange. It's Christmas, but it's not Christmas. It's Christmas in the world, but it's not Christmas in the church. It's a time of looking forward for Jesus' second coming, whilst preparing in our hearts to celebrate his first coming 2,000 years ago. And I think the church being awkward about when it is and isn't Christmas and when the day starts and when the week starts and all of those things goes right back to Jesus himself, because he liked to make things awkward too. You see, in his first coming 2,000 years ago, it wasn't at all what people were expecting. And his second coming, whenever that may be, it could be any moment, it could be in a year, it could be in 1,000 years, isn't what many people expect it will be either, if they're expecting it to happen at all. 2,000 years ago, the Jews were longing and looking for the promised Messiah to set them free. And they thought that meant free from the Roman Empire, who were oppressing and controlling them. They expected a military leader. Indeed, in the years up till Jesus came and a number of years afterwards, there were many rebellions led by people claiming to be the Messiah, who were coming to set the Jews free through armed revolt and terrorism. They wanted an action hero, a warrior and a warlord, a conqueror and a captain. But they hadn't been reading the scriptures that God had given them. At least they hadn't been reading them properly. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, not on a war horse, not on a war camel, not on a war elephant, as epic as that would have been, but on a non-war donkey. I don't think anyone's ever tried to make war donkeys before. I don't think it would be the most successful endeavor. And the crowds in Jerusalem, as Jesus entered into the capital city of God's people, were rapturous. They were expecting freedom from Rome, even if his entry on a donkey was a bit odd. They wanted a Messiah who was political, a political Messiah whose manifesto to rule they could put their hopes and their dreams and their purpose in. How often do we place our hopes and our dreams and our purpose in earthly leaders instead of on the one leader we can always count on? Verses 8 to 11 of Matthew 21. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road and others cut branches from the trees. That's a public order disturbance, let alone health and safety, and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." But Jesus didn't take his seat on Caesar's throne, but laid himself upon the cross. He was a spiritual Messiah promising spiritual freedom, peace of heart, joy in life, hope in adversity. A moral Messiah promising an end to guilt and shame and condemnation. A Messiah whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light, who promised rest to the weary and to be bread of life to the broken and the burnt out. And he offered it not in the backs of others' works, but by the bloody sweat of his own brow, his own blood, his own sweat, his own tears, his own pain, his own death, asking nothing of those he came to save. He came to serve and not to be served. He took it all, our pain, our suffering, our sin, our rebellion, and he declared, "It is finished," on the cross as he died. That forgiveness, that freedom, that joy, that peace, that hope, that love, yours. All yours if you believe, repent, and give your life to him. It's not the Messiah they were expecting, but it was the Messiah we all need. And it started in a humble human womb at conception. It was born as he took his first deep lungfuls of air in a humble stable. He learned to be a humble carpenter. He entered the capital city on a humble donkey as a humble king. And he died on a humble, humiliating cross. Take comfort this Advent, as we look towards Christmas, in our humble Saviour, but also take comfort in his very non-humble return. When he returns, it will be in absolute power and glory. Every eye shall see him, every knee will be forced to bow under the weight of his glory. Every stiff and proud neck will bend beneath his majesty. Every broken heart will be mended by his mercy. And every cruelty, every injustice, every sin will be laid bare and judged by his holiness. There will be fear and panic. The lost will wail even as they bow before him who they rejected. This is no hidden coming, no secret sending. It is for all to see, all to hear, all to feel, and all to know that Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the only ruler of princes. And we should take comfort in that second coming as well. That injustice and oppression in our nation and around this world comes to an end. That unfairness and unbalanced things will find equality in our world. That wars will cease and freedom will reign. That terror and fear as have impacted our streets only a day or so ago, will flee away. And even death itself will be swallowed up by joy. And for the faithful, the judgment brings life eternal, in happiness and peace and safety and love. This is our hope as Christians. But our spiritual Saviour and humble, merciful Messiah is in fact King and is coming back for us. But how will he find us when he returns? If he returns this Advent season, 2019, how will he find us? Just imagine that. You've bought all those Christmas presents for your friends and family, even the ones you don't like, and so you went to the pound shop, but it looks more expensive than it is. And then you don't even get to give it to them because Jesus comes back before Christmas Day. Imagine that. It could happen indeed. I could look at our reading from the book of Romans or our book of Revelation where it calls on us to fight sin and flee from adultery and slander and lying and wickedness and immorality and place upon us the armour of light and not give an inch to temptation and sin. I could go there. I'd probably enjoy it. But I'm not going to. Instead, I want to look back to his first coming. In our reading from Matthew 21, verses 12 to 13. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who sold and bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons, the scoundrels, selling pigeons. Of course, pigeons were sacrifices, and they were selling them to make money off of the system of God's mercy. And he said to them, "It is written, my house," he's claiming to be God, "my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers." He's quoting from Isaiah, where the Lord says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." If Jesus returns this Advent, could we, as we stand, honestly say that here at All Saints North Ferriby, we are a house of prayer for all nations. A house open for all nations to join and pray with us, for all kinds and all types of people with all different pasts and presents and struggles and doubts and fears to be part of this church. And can we say we are a house of prayer for all nations, praying for all nations, for all people, for everyone in our community, for all of our friends and our family, our entire nation, this continent, this earth? What about ourselves, looking in the mirror each morning? Are we believers not temples of the Holy Spirit? How significant is prayer in our lives? Are we houses of prayer for all nations? Do we pray daily? Once, twice, three times, all day? Do we pray for our family and our friends consistently? Even those friends you don't like and you bought the presents from the pound shop? When was the last time you prayed for your neighbours living on either side of you? Or how about the last time you prayed for the ones beyond there, or your entire street? When were they last in your prayers? Do I do that as often as I should? I fear not. I fear not. But let us not be content, therefore, Christ could return at any moment. So let's dedicate the next 25 days to prayer. To pray and pray and pray. And if you need help on how to pray, speak to me or speak to a friend who's a real prayer warrior. This Thursday coming, we've got our last session of the Heidelberg Catechism, looking at the Lord's Prayer. You could maybe come along to that at 7:30 in the hall. Or you could come to our morning prayer service that happens every single week here at 9:00 every Wednesday. Or you could go to the monthly prayer meeting at Matthew's house. Put it in your diaries ahead of time. You could take your notice sheet home and pray over all the things within there. Let's all of us this week, the coming week, these 25 days, dedicate ourselves and our church to being a house of prayer for all nations. Let us get on our knees, figuratively, if our bodies fail us, and be what we were born to be, houses of prayer for all nations. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, by sending your Son Jesus Christ to us to save us from our sins, you have opened up the curtain that separated the people from the Holy of Holies in your temple. And you have placed your Spirit within each of us. You have made us houses of prayer. You've made this church a house of prayer. Lord, as we look back to Jesus' birth and all that meant for us, and as we look forward to his coming again to right all the wrongs, and as we pray, come, Lord Jesus, in the face of the tragedies that face us, Lord, would you help us to pray? Help us to pray this Advent season. In Jesus' name, amen.